Hard first, easy later. So I want to talk about coding interviews specifically for engineers. I hear this a lot. I think it's a common thing that everybody, not really, it's not always a complaint, but it's definitely something that people talk about as far as engineers on, you know, some in interviews, as far as there's kind of like different types of companies that interview in different ways. But one of the more common ways that's more frustrating for people is like where it's based around like CS principles, or there's some kind of an algorithm. And it's, I say CS, but what I really mean is it's like the gotcha interviews where you will be asked to, you know, do like a depth first tree search or some kind of weird, you know, edge case, but like there's always a twist to it. It's not like a standard thing. Even if you understand the concept, it'll be obscured in some way. I guess an example could be like if you, instead of asking like in a straightforward way to do a specific algorithm, instead you would word it in like the real world. So you'd talk about like, you know, if Timmy has 15 pizzas then and he sells two of them for half off or something, then what is the circumference of the planet? You know, like it's stuff like that. And people will say, I think there's definitely, first of all, I think there's definitely a lot of gotcha interview questions that don't really fall in line with what you're going to do at work or something like that. And I get that, you know, but specifically, I hear this quite a bit, and I feel like it's completely wrong, as far as people will say that, you know, companies are going about things wrong, where they're interviewing for one thing, but then when you start, you're actually doing something completely different. An example could be like you go through the interview process and they're asking you about algorithms, and they don't ask you any questions about the primary language you're going to be doing on the job or something like that. The first reason that companies do that is primarily, anyways, is that they kind of want a, you know, general understanding of engineering and, you know, just concepts, principles, you know, data types, whatever it is that they're trying to do. Obviously, like more Silicon Valley type companies, you're going to have more and more of that, where, you know, you're going to be tested pretty heavily on understanding CS principles, like at low levels in specific areas. So you kind of just, it's like a blind test, you know, it just depends on which one you're going through. You know, the only way to study for it is just study all of CS basically. But that, so the reason that I have a problem with people saying that, and I feel like it doesn't make sense, is, and first of all, it is seeming to come from more junior people than on the senior side. And I think that's because on the junior side, you're thinking, you know, kind of like in the old world, you know, you go to college and you study something and then you get the job and you immediately get retrained because everything you learned in college has almost nothing to do with what you're doing. That is not, you can't make that comparison with engineering, okay? Because the reason is, if you go through that interview and you're being asked some algorithm or some concepts that you never use on the job, or you're being asked deep questions about an algorithm that you know that you're not going to need for this job, the reason for that, first of all, is that you have to think of it like your toolbox, okay? So all of these algorithms and all of these, you know, different concepts that you have and patterns that you've learned, they are your toolbox. So every time you're presented with a problem, you can dig into that toolbox and grab something out and use it to solve that problem. Because especially in engineering, everybody knows this, there's many different ways to solve the same problem, usually anyways. And especially with interviews, everybody knows this. The whole thing with interviews, you may solve the problem, but you may not have solved it with a more efficient solution than what they were looking for, kind of thing. I guess like an example would be, I think everybody tries to do most of the standard interviews at some level. You can get it to linear time or something like that, but or at least that's the understood norm, anyways. But anyways, what I'm, it's not really irritating. It's just, I feel bad for these people having this perspective. And I think it's newer people coming into the industry where they have this perception that, I just need to study for this interview. And they'll get these books on interview studying or prepping for interviews and all this stuff. And it's not that that's bad. It's just that it's like they're trying to get one over on the interviewer. And they think, oh, well, I just have to pretend, or I just have to know enough to get past like these algorithm things, these CS things that don't really matter. And then I can get in and do the job that I need to do. And the reality is, that's not a good thing. Because when you get that job, you're going to be that employee that is doing exactly what they're told in the best way possible that they know how, okay? And you're not going to have this other depth to it. What I mean by that is everything is going to be surface level. So you're going to struggle with internal development. You're going to struggle with any kind of like creative or, any kind of new development, or especially branching out and switching languages, switching stacks, things like that. And I think that is an issue because, and I think it's definitely a common thing as far as, a lot of people thinking that, well, I'm just going to come in and I'm just going to do what I'm told. Or I'm just going to come in and I'm going to solve it in the way that I think I should solve it. Or I'm going to solve it in the way that I think that my company wants me to solve it, instead of potentially, and I'm just saying potentially because this is not every time, but there's always the potential to have some algorithm or some pattern that your company is not aware of that you could solve it that's slightly more optimal, or that has a completely different paradigm shift that you would not even have had you not had that size of a toolbox or whatever you want to call it. So to kind of simplify, my whole argument for it is that you're putting tools in this toolbox. You're just learning possible ways to solve things. Because later on, I just know that I don't want to be, because I've been in this situation, is where you have people on your team who only know how to solve something in a specific way. And then it becomes a struggle to explain or to convince others to switch to a different paradigm. And you especially don't want to be that person who can't offer up value, because that is a big thing too. If you're a junior or you're just getting into the industry, if you are not offering any value, it doesn't have to be all the time because you're junior, but you need to sporadically be able to elevate yourself, and you have to constantly, once a month or something. I mean, this would be in an ideal world. If you're a junior engineer, once a month, you would want to basically stand out in some way with some solution that helped everybody, with a product, a team, whatever, that solved something slightly above what your perceived skill level is. And I don't think you can really get there if you're not expanding your toolbox and you're not learning these CS principles and algorithms, and not just that, but just looking at the bigger picture of the strategy, And that's really what these interviews are about. It's about finding out how you're going to solve these problems, and what the kind of the what do you call it? Like what is the possible solutions that you have? Like what is the knowledge that you have? What is the breadth of knowledge that you have that you can bring to the table? So when people say that, these coding interviews and, knowing these obscure algorithms or something, is not that important because once you get on the job, you're not doing that on a day-to-day basis, I say that's wrong, because maybe you're not being told, hey, everything that you're being given today to do, you should be looking at it like, hey, how can I solve this problem in a different, better, like a more optimal way? Because I think the reality is that, especially in engineering, things are pretty lax as far as You can be given something and then it's just, hey, if you can solve it, you can solve it. Like, we're not going to require you to solve it in a specific way, but we're not going to stop you either, and that's the problem. So I would say if you're a newer engineer coming in and you're thinking, well, I did it. I was given 2 days to do it, and I did it. It works. It didn't break or whatever. I would say, yeah, okay, that's good enough to keep your job for now, maybe. But it's not good enough for anything else. And especially like if I'm hiring somebody, if I'm interviewing for my team, it's not good enough for me. I want to see something, even just a spark of abstract or out of the box or something that's elevated beyond what a standard junior engineer would know. And so, yeah, and I just, I saw something. I hear this from people that I know sometimes, but I saw something where somebody was talking about this, and it was just ridiculous. Like, you're really showing how junior you are to talk about something like this, because it's such an obvious thing when you're on the other side. When you're hiring people and you're interviewing, it's such an obvious reason to ask these questions. But when you just don't understand that perspective, you think, why are they asking me all these questions that I'm not going to be doing on a day-to-day basis? It's like you're so cocky and arrogant to think that you understand why. Like, there is a reason that almost all of the industry does this. It's because it works. Like, there is a reason behind it. There's a method to the madness, if you will. So in anyways, it was just something that I think that people in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases are not earnestly trying to learn like CS principles, and in some cases they're just and I also say this, like, there are some things that you don't learn when you're going through like standard CS courses. So there's other things you want to look out there and see. Probably a good one is to look at like competitive coding. There's always like really cool optimizations, I'd say, every year that come out in those competitions. But yeah, so it's one of those things where I think, you really have to commit. I mean, I know it's a big ask to spend that kind of time, because it's a long time to learn that stuff. But I think it's important at least to understand that it's not a learn it once and then get a job and then you're done. You should be learning it throughout your career. Like, it shouldn't stop, because there is no real stopping point. But it's definitely a thing. It's a big, big deal, and it's not something you can like overlook. So yeah, it's just something that I thought. I really hope people don't, like, I hope that there's not a lot of people thinking that way, because I think it really hinders you in your career if you don't do that. Because then if you, like, let's say you study a little bit, you read some 101 interview tips for the retard or whatever, and you do your interview, and then you get the job, you stay there for 2 or 3 years, and then you're ready to go to another job, and you're like, oh man, I gotta go read some more interview books, whatever the latest interview books are. And then you do that, and you study for like a month or two, and then you get the job, and you stay there for another 2 or 3 years. You're gonna make incremental jumps, and you're not really gonna make exponential jumps. Okay. And this is just an assumption from me, but the assumption is, and it's some of this is based off of my experience seeing this happen, as far as these specific engineers only seem to move up when they jump from one org to another and not internally. And there's a difference between people who excel internally and people who excel only when they leave an org. And I mean, obviously it's pretty common to do both. I've done both. But it's I'd say it's a difference when you see somebody move up in an org without leaving. And I think this is one weapon, if you will, that would help you do that, if you're able to, have some deep knowledge in some of these algorithms and be able to go into a company and think, how can I help solve something in a product or a service or something that you're being given to do, and be able to kind of look at it from a high level, like, what is our strategy here? What could our strategy be? How can we solve this in a better way? And that can be at the bottom level, the very low level, all the way to the top level, like product level. So it's not even just algorithms. It could be as complicated as, you know, architecture patterns that that you want to learn, because that's kind of under the same guise, I would say, as an algorithm or CS principles. Is that it's just a tool to know, hey, I can put these pieces together, or I can do this specific pattern in this order to get this result. It's the same thing with an architecture stack. So that's why I think when you're getting ready for an interview, I would think more about what is the product or service that they're selling, what is the type of data they're handling, and then learn algorithms or at least brush up on algorithms around handling that type of data, and potentially look at different architectures for, you know, different, you know, languages or platforms or devices or whatever that's being used for that specific industry. I think that's more valuable going into an interview than it is if you're just reading some book about how to get over on CS principles or algorithms or whatever. if anything, if there's one takeaway that I would try to get through, is don't stop learning that stuff once you get the job. Keep going with it, because I think it's more important after you get the job than it is before you get the job, because it's a big value added when you have that to pull from. So anyways, so just been super busy. I know it's been a while since I've put anything out. Been working on a couple different things, and it's been just, I was busy, I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks ago, or it might have even been longer than that. I don't know. I've been pretty busy, but then it's just been even more so lately. So it's been a lot of fun, but it's like, just, you know, you kind of have to make that decision where it's like, you want to build something or you want to talk about, you know, stuff. And, I don't know. Yeah. It's just been straight up, I want to say last couple of weeks, it's been like, wake up, work on something else. Cause it used to be, I would run errands and stuff. I never run errands now. So I feel like I work more than usual. And the other thing too, that I think is kind of interesting, and I don't know if anybody else gets this, but I just feel like things are boring. You know, I guess more specifically, like if I try to take a break, and cause I've done this like several times this week where like I'll reach some stopping point, and I'll be like, man, I really need to like walk away, or like, you know, like, you know, you get that little win and you're like, yeah, you know, it fucking works. I need to go like do something, and you can't really do anything. So I was like, okay, well, I'll watch something or something. And every time I go to like watch a movie or something, it's so boring. You know, like I can't watch it, or I'll start it, and then 5 minutes in, I'm like, nah, fuck this. This is a waste of time. And and it's not just like movies. It's like most activities where I will think that it's not like, is this a good use of my time, or almost like, would I enjoy doing something else more? Like, I guess a good example would be, I've been trying to, you know, I was on this like this 10 mile a day routine that I was doing, and then I fell off for a little while, and then I was getting back on my routine, and so I took a break, and then I was going for a walk, and I've been trying to like up it to like a 15 or 20 mile, or I've been trying to do more running and less walking and jogging during that workout or whatever. And so I left, but I remember this. It was like, I don't know what it was. It was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning or something. And I go and I'm only like, I want to say I was only like 3 miles into it. And then I kept thinking, like it was like one of those things where I was thinking about this problem at night when I went to sleep. And then I had just woken up and I had kind of thought of a solution. And then I went for my run. And then about 2 or 3 miles into it, I couldn't stop thinking about like, fuck, you know, I got to go do this, because if I don't do this now, then, you know, I've got to switch to this other project before this time. And then I've got a meeting for this. And then I got to go do this. So I've only got an hour and a half if I leave now. Otherwise I won't have any time to do it or something like that. And then maybe I'll forget it. You know, which has happened too, where like you have a solution for something and then like you don't write it down or something, and then you don't get time to code it until like the next day, and then you forget the train of thought. And so anyways, yeah. And then I remember, and I just like turned around and came back. So I was like, no, I can't do a full 10 miles right now. It'll take too long. I've got to go code this thing real quick. And then like I came back home, and that may not be a great example, but I'd say that like the biggest thing lately has been just boredom. Like I'm just bored. Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm hoping everybody's, you know, staying safe and everything, and we can, you know, get over this hump. I think, I don't know. Anyways, I think there's probably a lot of good and bad happening during this time, but I'm just focusing on work stuff. So yeah, but anyways, hopefully somebody gets something from that whole thing about the coding interviews, because I think it is a big deal. And I think right now, I mean, you know, there's, what is it? It's like 25 million people unemployed or some crazy number right now. And I think if you're one of those and you're an engineer and you're trying to get a new job, I think that should be number one on your list, because, you know, agree with it or not, if you're good at algorithms, you're going to be able to get jobs, you know. And it's I think that there's definitely arguments on both sides. I've kind of always argued for like verticals, because I think the standard used to be like the industry used to lean towards general purpose programming, which meant, you know, heavily on the CS side, heavily on some of these standardized algorithms, and less on anything else. Like they would basically, when they interview, and they still kind of do it, where they'll tell you, okay, what language would you like to answer this question? And you can just pick whatever language you want. Versus I think some of the more vertical stuff where you get asked like system design stuff, specific to like a device and a stack and everything else. So I prefer the vertical stuff, but I guess I still think that you should have the algorithm stuff. I think it's just, it goes hand in hand kind of thing, but there's definitely cases where if you only knew the algorithm stuff and you didn't know, like if you weren't really good at a vertical, you could still get plenty of jobs, especially in Silicon Valley, because it's so broad that if you're good at CS principles, you're going to get those jobs. You can get through interviews that way. So I'd say if you're trying to get a job right now as an engineer, I would definitely focus on that. That would be the number one thing that I would be working on, is algorithms and CS principles and nothing else. Like just nothing else. Don't even worry about a programming language. Just focus on those concepts, and that would get you a job pretty much anywhere. Or at least at more tech savvy broad companies, like a company who has like so many products and services that they're going to throw you into any team and any language. They just want to know that you have a pretty strong background in those things. Yeah. So anyways, I'll end it there. And I'll probably, like, I know I had all these interviews lined up and everything, and I wanted to do like all these cool interviews with these interesting people, but I don't know. It's just been crazy lately, and plus you can't like meet with anybody, you know, and with all this stuff going on. So, I don't know. I may circle back and try to do that stuff, cause I know I canceled on a bunch of people, but, you know, we'll see what happens probably in like June or something like that. So, all right. Hope everybody's, having a good weekend and staying safe.